Alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayh. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa nashhadu anna sayyidana wa maulana Muhammadan 'abduhu wa rasuluhu. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أحب الأعمال إلى الله أدومها وإن قلّا أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام Let us recite Durood Sharif on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina wa Mawlana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa barik wa sallim. My most respected elders and brothers, Allah Ta'ala gave us the auspicious month of Ramadan, and now we are after the month of Ramadan. Most definitely we will not be able to sustain the ibadat and the spirituality that we were able to achieve in the auspicious month of Ramadan. But it is very necessary for us to constantly remind ourselves and to be in a mahol and an environment. We learn from the month of Ramadan that when there is a mahol, there is an environment, then it becomes easier for a person to do his amals. Very easy. The famous story of a person, he goes to an attar shop. He doesn't buy the attar, he just passes by. The scent of the attar will get onto him, and somebody will smell the fragrance on him. Similarly, if we are in an environment of deen, we are in an environment where the talks of Allah, the talk of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is constantly mentioned, then it serves as a reminder. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us that we must visit the qabristan, to go to the graveyard. Some people, they stay very far from the graveyard. They feel that, no, if we go, we might be next. But it's not like that, my dear brothers. We are encouraged to visit certain places. Amongst those places, one is the Qabristan, to visit. The reason for that is it reminds you of Akhirat. It reminds you that I also have to go past this particular route. I have to go to this destination. And I have to then, from here, I will go and meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, my dear brothers. Certain amals we must continue doing. For example, be steadfast on our salah. Like how we are in the month of Ramadan, don't let a salat pass through. Make this firm azam and commitment that, oh Allah, give me the tawfiq that I recite my 5-time daily salat with jamaat in the masjid, inshallah. Say inshallah, my dear brothers. The second thing, my dear brothers, try daily to make tilawat of the Quran. Sometimes, unfortunately, we don't touch the Quran, whole week goes, sometimes whole month goes. We don't touch the Quran. Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq, my dear brothers. Daily make some niyat and intention that we must recite the Quran. Besides our masnoon qiraat that we do Surah Yasin daily, we must do Suratul Mulk daily, we must do Surah Waqia daily. There are certain surahs that are prescribed in that kitab, that green kitab, famous green contentment of the heart. Let us make that part and parcel of what we will say, our daily wird, the daily recitation. But together with that, make some azam and commitment that I will do, give some dedication to the tilawat of the Quran, whether it is half a para, whether it is quarter para, whatever tawfiq Allah Pak gives us. They say if you want to judge how much you love Allah, then look at how much of tilawat of Quran you are doing. In the olden days when somebody used to write a letter to us, then we'll read it and try and read it in between the lines to see if I didn't miss anything. Because of that muhabbat. Fathers receive the letter from his son, son living overseas. He'll tell all his friends, hey, my son wrote a letter from Australia. My son is there, this is what he's doing. He'll relate it. He talks about it. Why is love, muhabbat? So they say that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the closest way of gaining the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by the tilawat of the Quran. Wa khairul kalami kalamullah. The best of words are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, my dear brothers. Then together with the tilawat of Quran, daily, now Asr is early, but maybe a little later when we can, then we at least recite the three masnoon zikrs that are prescribed to us. Durood Sharif 100 times a day, Astaghfar 100 times. Istaghfar is such a valuable wird, such a valuable, my dear brothers, zikr that we have to do, because that person who makes istighfar, Allah Ta'ala makes a way for him in all his difficulties. Man ja'ala, the one who makes his istighfar part and parcel of his recitation, ja'ala Allahu lahu min kulli diqin makhraja. Allah Ta'ala makes it easy for him from every difficulty. وَمِن كُلِّ فَرْجٍ وَمِن كُلِّ هَمٍّ فَرَجًا. And from every worry of his, Allah Ta'ala will find a way for him. But we are not utilizing the prescription given to us by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Make niyat that these certain amals and deeds that we can do, my dear brothers, Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq that we, continuously doing this. Together with that, my dear brothers, is our, constantly, like how we used to do in the month of Ramadan, we ensure we're giving some charity on a daily basis. Like that, on a daily basis, some type of sadaqah you give. You don't have to give hundreds of rands, even by giving a 10 rand or a 5 rand, but you do it on a daily basis. Allah, the one who gives sadaqah, charity, as-sadaqah to raddul bala. It's easy. A person who is giving charity, it's raddul bala. Yani bala ko dafa karne wali cheez. The one that will get rid of your any bala, afat bala and musibat gonna come on a person. He gave some charity in the morning. That one Maulana who last 1-2 years ago he passed away, Allah Ta'ala make his maghfirat. Yeah, in the morning he took all the food in his car, for the Jamaat. He gives he was giving bread and every day distributing that. Allah Ta'ala, he put that thing in his car to take it from home in the Fajr Namaz. He passed away in the Namaz. What a mot. But he got the full reward of his amal. He was steadfast on his amal. He had everything in his boot of his car. So my dear brothers, those things that we make part and parcel of our life, Allah will give us continuously that reward of it. So these few amals, my dear brothers, I thought I will remind you and myself also that we mustn't become weak after the month of Ramadan. We're supposed to be now rejuvenated, that sufficient iman has been generated within ourselves, that we have the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our amals that we are doing for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Always remind ourselves, Allah does not like, my dear brother, shirk. Allah ta'ala forgives each and every guna of a person, but Allah doesn't like shirk. Shirk He doesn't forgive. So let us make sure that whenever we are doing any amals, my dear brothers, we must remind ourselves constantly before the amal that I am doing this only and solely for the pleasure of Allah. Secondly, while we are doing the amal, shaitan wants to gap in. He wants a share in our amals. So shaitan will want to gap in. So secondly, we must, whilst we are doing the amal also, remind ourselves constantly, constantly reminding ourselves that this amal I have done only and solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati. Allah says, Lillahi Rabbil Alameen. Lillahi Rabbil Alameen. Remind ourselves. And then ulama say, thirdly, at the end of our amal, when we finish an action and deed, then my dear brothers, that particular time when we finish it, then how Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam, they turned around and they said, Rabbana taqabbal minna. Oh Allah, accept this from us. So we turn our attention to Allah. After Allah gives you the tawfiq of doing some good amal also, then we turn our attention to Allah and we remind ourselves that I have done this amal only and solely for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, you accept this amal from me. So Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Constantly remind ourselves, my dear brothers. Our life is very short. My dear brothers, I recited the few ayats of the Quran which we normally hear at the time of Mi'raj. I thought I will share some experience of mine. Allah Ta'ala gave me the tawfiq, alhamdulillah, with my family, that in the last few days of Ramadan, about 10-12 days of Ramadan, we were able to travel and go to Masjid al-Aqsa. And we were able to spend some time there in the precincts. Before, I really never really understood. But my dear brothers, after undertaking the safar and this journey, we realize the sacredness and the auspiciousness more than what it really, that we knew. It's far greater than what we can even imagine. So my dear brothers, Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq and to understand. Firstly, Allah Ta'ala gives this particular place, this sanctified place, Allah Ta'ala gives it a place in the Quran. It has many, many, many virtues. But the starting virtue for us to realize and understand that Allah Ta'ala tells us in the Quran that this is a place where Allah Ta'ala took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam minal masjidil haram ilal masjidil aqsa. So it's mentioned by its name, the sanctity of this particular place can be understood from the very fact that Allah Ta'ala took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he went for Mi'raj from Makkatul Mukarrama. He first took him to this Jerusalem, to Baytul Muqaddas. The mind comes and thinks, Allah could have taken him directly from Makkah into the heavens, but he first brought him here to Baytul Muqaddas. It shows the sanctity of this particular place. And then Allah elaborates further, just by saying that it was sufficient. But then Allah Ta'ala further continues and say, Allazi barakna hawlahu, the place, the area of which is blessed. So Allah Himself is telling you that this place is a blessed land. What more do we need for anybody else to explain to us about the blessedness and the auspiciousness of this sacred place, my dear brothers? Allah Ta'ala give us a tawfiq, my dear brothers. When you go, you realize and you understand. In fact, some people have written some books, and I came across one book wherein a person has written 40 ahadith. Not 1, 2, 3, 10. 40 ahadith. You know, to write 40 ahadith, there's some significance mentioned in the ahadith with regard to a person who compiles 40 ahadith. So this person has compiled, anybody needs a copy of the thing, you'll find it on the website of the Jamiat, or you can send me a message or something, I'll forward you those particular ahadith. It's compiled in a book form. So when we are recite some of those ahadith that are mentioned, and my dear brothers, we can realize and understand the sacredness and the auspiciousness of this particular place. So it is, my dear brothers, they talk about, you know, they say that he was crucified, and it's not our belief that Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was crucified. It is our belief, and the Quran tells us that Allah Ta'ala lifted him into the heavens. That place where this whole incident transpired and took place is also there. Now exact spot you can identify and say 100% that this is the place where, but this is the precincts and the environment in which this particular, you know, incident happened. And it is linked to the past, it is linked to the present, and my dear brothers, it is also linked to the future. Because the ahadith mentions that Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he will come again into the earth. He will come, the mention is made on which minaret he will come. Some riwayats say Damascus, and some ulama told me that there is one minaret there, that is there, it's on Mount Olives. They say he will descend there. Now there's two different riwayat, but whatever it is, it's in the precincts of Sham. So he will come back, and the ahadith say that he will kill, he will kill Dajjal. And the place where he will kill Dajjal, Babul Lud, that is also in Palestine. So the events of the future, what's going to transpire in the future, is also linked to the sacred place. So we can understand from these, my dear brothers, how auspicious this particular place and environment is. Hazrat, you know, innumerable Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam lie buried in the soil of this particular, you know, sacred soil, my dear brothers. There is a masjid that we had gone to, one of the masjids. We read Durood Ibrahim. When I came, I saw one of my friends here, Mr. Andrew, reading Durood Ibrahim, and my thoughts went to the fact that when you read Durood Ibrahim in front of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam in that masjid called Masjid al Khalil. Khalil means friend. And see how they are changing it. I don't want to talk too much about politics. I'm not a politician. I don't know too much about politics. But they changed the name Khalil, they made it Hebron. For us to forget it. We must forget. They say, no, welcome, you've come to Israel. They want to eradicate Palestine from the world map.
You won't find Palestine, you'll find Israel. And it's occupied land, and you see the difficulty that how, you know, these people, what difficulty they go through. You and I, my dear brothers, we travel in comfort. We go in an air-conditioned vehicle to the airport. We go in an aircon. We sit in an aeroplane. And within one short hop to the next hop, you are sitting in Tel Aviv. Maybe 6 hours, 8 hours, 9 hours, 12 hours, you are there. You are sitting in the airport. And then you get, you know, you get processed, so to say. These people are living 8 kilometers, 10 kilometers, 15 kilometers nearby. They can see Aqsa, they can see the Qubbat al-Sakhra, that gold dome, they can see it. They can see that black dome that is called the Qibli Masjid or the Masjid al-Aqsa. They can see it, but they can't go there. Allahu Akbar. Some of them cry. They cry, and they go to whatever extent it may take, even it means risking their life, for them to go to that environment and read one salah. They make dua and they say, oh Allah, give us the tawfiq of reading 2 rakats of salah in Masjid al-Aqsa before we die. Elderly people, you see. Now, a person from Hebron or from Khalil, who is only about maybe 18 kilometers away, they'll tell you that we can't go. We got to apply for a tasrih. We got to apply for permission to go there. But you and I, as South Africans, Allah Ta'ala has blessed us. We land in the airport and we get a visa for 3 months. You can stay and you can go anywhere. So my dear brothers, how much more interest should we not be taking that we also must undertake this safar? Now sometimes some people say, no, you know, why are you undertaking this journey? Why you are risking your life? Why you are doing this? Why you are doing this? But this is exactly what these people want us to forget, these environments, to forget the sanctity of these particular maqam and places. And thirdly, my dear brothers, what has happened in that Masjid al-Khalil? There are Anbiya buried there. Hazrat Ishaq alayhi salam, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam is buried there. Then the wives of these Nambis are buried there. Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam is buried in that sanctity, in that precinct as well. And I think it happened in 1996 where that person came into the masjid and he opened fire, and many of these Palestinians, they became shaheed in the masjid. So that whole place was closed for about 4 to 6 months. Now when they reopened it, they took part of the masjid and they made it under day section. So the Jews, because Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is sanctified for them also, so now they got a separate entrance in which they go, and they also have, you know, a place where they can also go and, you know, do whatever they have to do. But the part of the masjid, I think 60% of the masjid now became theirs, and 40% remains in the precincts of the Muslims. Imagine in our day and age, something like this has happened, my dear brothers. An entire masjid that belonged to us has been taken away from us. Now the fear is that if our brothers and our sisters, if they do not continuously frequent these places, my dear brothers, what will happen? It's very possible that Allah save us, in our own lifetime it must not happen, that this whole Masjid al-Aqsa, this whole precinct, this whole surrounding of what a big, you know, area and boundary, it will also be taken away, because these people come in with the soldiers and then they protect them, and then they take them around like a tour guide. And they show them the various places. But the sanctity of the masjid is violated. They come in there with their boots and whatever they have to do, they do. But you can see like they're provoking our Muslim brothers. Allah Ta'ala has chosen these people, my dear brothers. We must not look. But these people are special people. They are special people in a sense that Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has chosen them to be in this environment. And the iman that they have, you know, the rabat that they have in them, my dear brothers, there are so much of jazba that if it was one of us, let's say if Al-Quds was here by you and I in South Africa, we would have ran away from here. Allah Ta'ala has chosen them and they are protecting and preserving that particular masjid to such an extent that even if they have to sacrifice their life, they're ready to sacrifice their life. They are offered millions of dollars to sell a small piece of place that they may be owning, a small apartment that they may be having, half the size of this masjid, millions of dollars, blank check. But the iman of the person does not allow him to even engage in that type of a deal, because he knows that this particular place is so sanctified in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can I sell it for some, you know, some amount of money? No amount of money can purchase my particular place. When you speak to these brothers, my dear brothers, you realize, you know, the challenges that they go through. I want to mention two or three ahadith. My time is already up. But one of the ahadith mentioned is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and this is in Sahih Bukhari, La tashuddur rihal illa ala salasati masajid. Meaning, don't gather your stuff and make travel except to three masjids. Except to three masajid. Don't gather and make safar, especially for obtaining reward or something of that nature, except to three masajid. One of is Masjid al-Haram, that is the Baytullah al-Haram. The second is Masjidid, meaning the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the third masjid is Masjid al-Aqsa. Imagine, this is like a hukum of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that this is in one another hadith I found, Tashuddur rihal. That means a person should gather his things, etc. And he should undertake a journey to these three masajid. And one is Masjid al-Haram, one is Masjid Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the third is the Masjid al-Aqsa. So this is how significant this particular place is. Then there is a wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the beloved wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how much of ihsan they have made on this ummah, we don't realize. But look at from this hadith that we find, in which one of the wives, Hazrat Maymuna radiallahu anha, she asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imagine the mind of these ladies, how intelligent they were, and what an ihsan on the ummah. She asked, O Nabi of Allah, O Prophet of Allah, inform us of Baytul Muqaddas, Baytul Maqdis, tell us about Baytul Maqdis. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded to her, and he said, visit it if you can. Visit it and pray in it if you can. So she then further asked that, O Nabi of Allah, now where's Medina and where's Masjid al-Aqsa? O Nabi of Allah, if we can't visit it, what must we do? We can't visit it. If we can't visit it, so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, send some oil to be used in the lamps. Send some oil to be used in the lamps. Whoever gives oil for its lamps, it will be as if he has prayed in it. Allahu Akbar. Whoever gives oil for its lamps, it is as if he has prayed in a masjid. So how much of encouragement, even from the ahadith. Now they're not burning oil there, etc. They're not burning oil there. So a person can come in his mind that, what can I do? So my dear brothers, find some suitable project, something where you can support those people who are living in these precincts in a correct way, if it's done in an authentic manner, obviously, or some way you can support some activity of this particular masjid that is taking place. It is as if we have prayed in a masjid. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, my dear brothers. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned with regard to the ihram, the wearing of the ihram, it's got a special significance. If you wear it from Masjid al-Aqsa, and either you go for Hajj or you go for Umrah from Masjid al-Aqsa by wearing the ihram. And it's an ajeeb sight. In a masjid, you'll see sometimes two, three people, they are wearing ihram and they are preparing. And then from there, they take one, they go to, either they go to Jordan, to the, it's, I think it's a 1 hour travel. They go to the Jordan, and from there they board the flight and they land in Medina. I think it's a 1 hour flight. So near. So the point is that the Sahabi, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this Sahabi mentioned and says that if you wear your ihram from Masjid al-Aqsa and you go for Hajj or you go for Umrah, then your former sins and your latter sins are all forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine your past sins and your future sins. And then the hadith quotation is so clear that the narrator says that, I'm not sure, it might also be that Allah ta'ala guarantees that person paradise. So my dear brothers, let us make niyat, make intention. Allah ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Allah take us all, like how we, you know, hold this desire to go to the Baytullah al-Haram, to go to Makkah al-Mukarrama, to go to Medina Munawara. Let us have the sanctity and the auspiciousness of this particular, you know, location and destination also in our heart. And Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. The minimum that we must not fail doing is making dua. That Allah Ta'ala, you know, preserves and protects this masjid, preserves and protects the people who are living in this sanctified environment. that Allah Ta'ala must utilize us for the protection of Masjid al-Aqsa. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.